sent to the DIA May 27, 2003, 2 days before the Bush claim. The statement did not say whether the information was immediately shared with the White House, the spokesman saying that will be investigated. Iraqi police today say at least 20 people have been killed, more than 30 others injured, in a car bomb attack northeast of Baghdad. The bomb exploded as worshippers left a Shiite mosque. The U.S. military reporting more American deaths in Iraq. A U.S. statement says 3 soldiers died in roadside bombings today. One blasted a vehicle south of Baghdad, another hit east of the capital, and the military says a soldier from the 101st Airborne Division died on Monday from what they called a non-battle injury in northern Iraq. At least 35 American troops have died in Iraq already this month. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says it is time to take what she called strong steps against Iran. Rice responding to Iran's declaration that it successfully enriched uranium. She is disputing claims that Iran is still far from achieving nuclear power or a nuclear weapon. The Secretary of State has not called for an emergency meeting of the U.N. Security Council, but she is calling on the U.N.'s top nuclear watchdog to intensify pressure on Iran in his meeting scheduled on Friday. The Reverend William Sloan Coffin has died. The former Yale University chaplain known for peace activism during the Vietnam War was 81. Before the jury decides if Zacharias Moussaoui lives or dies, they heard the final minutes of the people on Flight 93, the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania September 11th. Then prosecutors rested their case. The jury went home until tomorrow. The sounds from Flight 93 will not be made public. This is Air America Radio News.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America. Thanks for tuning in. The story in the Washington Post has had me fried all day, just absolutely freaked. And Scott McClellan, you know, he is a creep. He is an enabler for this filthy neo-Nazi crime family that runs this country now. But you have to wonder how much longer can McClellan take the pressure from the crack White House press corps, huh? He must work it all out in the evenings before he goes in for that day's press briefing. How to constantly spin and duck and handle the lies and the corruption and the scandals and the crimes of the Bush White House. How does he do it? I think he does it by just pure force of something. You know, I don't know what it is. But to me, he looks like a man on the verge of some sort of a breakdown. The Downing Street memo about the selected intelligence and the predetermined war plans, no matter what the intelligence said, the Fitzgerald special prosecutor revelations here, Cheney running around talking about using nukes on planet Earth, the calls for Rumsfeld's resignation by flag rank retired officers, the delay corruptions, the crime files, the child molesters in the Department of Homeland Security, the death, dishonor, desolation as a result of Katrina, really as a result of the failed levees, this bloody disaster in Iraq, the upcoming nuclear attack against Iran, and now this, more lies about Bush's statement regarding these magical weapons of mass destructions that Iraq possessed and was the casus belli of this whole invasion. You know, I wonder sometimes if McClellan stays hooked up to a Valium drip 23 hours a day, only unplugging briefly to come out for the daily lies and distortions and debacle. And finally, today's hammering on the latest exposed Bush crime family lie that occurred today with McClellan. We have three sound bites for you, this time about the the sand toilet that the Bush crime family tried to spin as a biochemical weapons mobile lab. Jesus, God, is there anything? This is directed to you conservatives and right-wingers and Bush supporters who listen to this program. Is there anything that Bush said or any member of his corrupt, filthy regime, anything that any of them said that was not a lie? Anything? I challenge any of you right-wingers to call this program. I know you don't have the guts or the courage to do it. Plus the fact that you have nothing you have no way of answering the question except by saying, no, Mike, there was nothing. All of it was lies. Every single issue was a lie. All of it. Now, on a lighter note, joining us in a few minutes will be someone that I think a lot of listeners to Air America Radio Network knows and really likes. That's Mike Papantonio, co-host with Robert Kennedy Jr. of the weekend program here on the network, Ring of Fire. It's on every Saturday and Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. The reason we're going to have Mike on, he's going to be featured in a new documentary called Jesus Camp. And it's premiering at the Tribeca New York Film Festival in April coming. And we want to talk to him about that. So stick around. The story in the Washington Post this morning, on May 29th, 50 days after the fall of Baghdad, Bush proclaimed a fresh victory for his administration in Iraq, to wit, two small trailers captured by U.S. and Kurdish troops had turned out to be the long-sought mobile biological laboratories. Bush declared, "We found the weapons of mass destruction." Now, that claim, which, by the way, was repeated by top Bush crime family members for months afterward, was stated at the time to be a vindication of Bush's decision to invade a country that was no threat to the United States whatsoever. But here's the rub, and this is what the Post is talking about. Even as George W. Bush told his filthy lie, U.S. intelligence officials had powerful evidence that it was not true, and Bush knew it was not true. Now, the story, a secret fact-finding mission to Iraq, not made public until today in the Post. This fact-finding mission had already concluded that the trailers had nothing to do with biological weapons. The mission to find out if they did was a Pentagon-sponsored mission. Not Rumsfeld, Pentagon. And this mission transmitted their unanimous findings. There were nine U.S. and British experts on this mission. They were unanimous, and they sent their findings to Bush and his thugs on May 27th, 2003, 2 days before Bush stood out there and lied his ass off once again. 2 days! 2 days! Now, let me ask you something, Truth Seeker. Do you believe for a second, because I damn sure don't, that George W. Bush was, let's take this scenario, he was denied the truth. Do you think he was denied the truth? No. He's the commander-in-chief. He'll quickly tell you that. His job is to protect American people. Do you suppose that he read the report and decided to lie about it because it would be one more nail in the coffin of his lies? Yes, that's precisely what he did. It was a three-page field report and then a 122-page final report 3 weeks later that was stamped secret by the Bush crime family and stuck away someplace. And then for nearly a year after that, administration, Bush crime family, and intelligence officials continued to publicly state that the trailers were weapons factories for a year afterward. The normal people who listen to this program are freaked out and have been freaked out for 5 years, but especially for the last three. But for you conservatives, you right-wingers, you Bush supporters, I mean, isn't this sand right in the crack of your hiney? I mean, how do you feel now? You sucker, you complete sucker, with your yellow ribbons and your red ribbons and your browns ribbons on your SUVs, you bunch of suckers, do you not understand how Bush has played you? He's played you like a $10 guitar. Do you know that? And he continues to play you. And you continue to stand there and take it. You guys and you gals, you right-wingers, you must have no shame. I know, you can always turn to Jesus and I don't know, maybe that'll help you. But you have no shame. You really don't. Lie after lie after lie, death after death after death, bombing raid after bombing raid, killing more and more people, and you suckers continue to sit there on your bony haunches and support this killer. Unbelievable. I don't know how y'all do it. Y'all must be subhuman. You really must be. You don't have the same kind of brain and heart and soul that I have, or that normal Americans have. You got something else. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. The authors of these reports, as I said, were nine U.S. and British civilian experts, scientists and engineers with extensive experience in all the technical fields involved in making bioweapons. They were sent to Baghdad by the Defense Intelligence Agency to analyze these trailers. Now, none of them would consent to being identified for this article because fear that their jobs would be jeopardized. This is astonishing.
But talking pundits, don't you think that karma waits for you? See how they smile like pigs in a sty. See how this night I'm crying. Frost is on a plunder, toying with the public power. McClellan like a penguin singing, nothing can suspend. You should have seen it.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Every generation has a story to tell. For those who lived through the war in Iraq, it's The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell by John Crawford. The New York Times bestselling account of a man who opposed the war but fought on the front lines. The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell is the first on-the-ground memoir to make an impact, raves the Times Book Review. John Stewart of The Daily Show says it's a wonderful read. Time Magazine calls it harrowing and exquisite. Read The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell, now a Riverhead paperback.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
22 past the hour. Now, let me clarify here for just a second. The mobile, the bio labs, the trailer story, a friend just emailed me and said, you know, that story's been out there for a couple of years, but, you know, the mainstream media finally found it. Yeah, I'm real aware of that. What makes this story different from the truth that most of us have known since these lying bastards put this story out, but what makes this story different is that now it's revealed that a special group of 9 U.S. and British civilian experts, scientists and engineers, were sent specifically to investigate this. Now, the what was the group called that was charged with finding the weapons? Not the UN inspectors, but David Kaye's group, or was it? I don't know. It really doesn't matter anymore. I'm so sick of this topic, I could scream. I really could. But this is the first time, as far as I know, that it's been revealed, at least in mainstream media for certain, that the whole thing was a lie based on a report that was sent to Bush that he had 2 days before he went out and lied once again to the American public. Now, like I said, none of these U.S. Civilian experts, these scientists or engineers, will even today allow the Washington Post to use their names because of the climate of absolute fear that exists in this country. Jesus, I mean, I don't feel that fear. Do you? I feel enraged. I feel like I like to just beat the living crap out of somebody. But fear? I don't quite get it. Okay. Fear that their jobs would be jeopardized. Okay, wouldn't being fired by the Bush crime family for revealing the truth, wouldn't that guarantee you that you'd get another job and have a heartbeat? Okay, maybe not. Anyway, this technical team was unequivocal in its conclusion that the trailers were not intended to manufacture biological weapons. One of the experts who studied the trailers said there was no connection to anything biological. Another recalled an epithet that came to be associated with the trailers, the biggest sand toilets in the world. Only didn't say sand toilets. They just close. Now, as the Post says, the story of the technical team and its reports adds a new dimension to the debate over the U.S. government's handling of intelligence related to banned Iraqi weapons programs. Yo, New York Post. I'm sorry, Washington Post. Let me tell you something. There was no debate over any intelligence. It was all a lie. The intelligence that came in and said, there are no weapons. He's not a threat. There are no Al-Qaeda. Nothing. Nothing. Damn, I wish the Post, you know, they're so close here to really telling the truth, and they still won't do it. Jesus. Anyway, according to the Post, the story of the team and its reports adds a new dimension to the debate over the U.S. government's handling of intelligence related to banned Iraqi weapons programs. Now, the trailers, along with remember the aluminum tubes? The aluminum tubes and the yellow cake and the partridge in a pear tree, all of this stuff was presented by the Bush crime family as primary pieces of evidence that they used to justify the invasion of a country already flat on its ass, unable to do anything except lay there and watch the U.S. military roll in and turn the country into an abattoir, a killing machine, a civil war. The Post says intelligence officials in the White House have repeatedly denied allegations that intelligence was hyped or manipulated in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq in March 2003. Spokesman for the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency declined to comment on the findings of the technical report because it remains classified. You see how this works? The survey group's final report said the trailers were, quote, impractical, end quote, for biological weapons production. Well, yeah! We have biological weapons production here in Atlanta at the CDC. Well, not weapons production, but toxic chemicals so ugly, biological agents so virulent, so ugly, that in order to get in, you have to go down 7 flights underground and this and that. Oh, no. But to the Bush crime family, oh, yeah, they're making this stuff in a trailer. Jesus! So what were the trailers for? According to the report, quote, almost certainly intended for manufacturing hydrogen for weather balloons. This would be funny, except it's not. The technical team's findings had no apparent impact on the Bush crime family's public statements on the trailers or the intelligence agency's public statements. A day after the team's report was transmitted to Washington, the CIA publicly released its first formal assessment of the trailers, which reflected the views of the Washington liars and thugs. Jesus, I don't know. George Tenet, of course, was the head of the CIA at the time. He's now a faculty member at Georgetown's Edmund Walsh School of Foreign Service. He declined to comment for the story in the Post today. But he'll continue to teach the young students about how to be a lion son of a bitch and assist a bunch of killers in how to invade a country that did nothing to us.
He is now. The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now. 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the price.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
We'll be right back. Messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
We were young together.
26 before the hour. I need to get a little sanity into the program here for at least for a couple of minutes. Mike Papantonio is the co-host of Ring of Fire with Robert Kennedy Jr. He's on both of them are on Air America Radio weekends from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday and Sunday. Mike is going to be featured in a new documentary called Jesus Camp that's premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York in April. And he joins us now from Florida. Hey, Mike.
Michael, how you doing? Great show tonight.
Oh, thanks a lot.
I'm standing up in front of the microphone. I couldn't even sit down. I mean, you just got me so engaged in what's going on up there.
I got to talk about something else. These people are driving me crazy, Mike. I'm too young to die.
Well, you got me standing up, man. So go with it.
Well, I want to talk about this. I'm real intrigued about this movie you're going to be in, Jesus Camp. All right, explain this to me, because this is, I have a feeling it's one of the topics I talk about a lot on this program, and that is the absolute utter hypocrisy and danger of the religious, of the Christian religious right in this country. Am I right or wrong?
That's part of it. I mean, Heidi Ewing and Rachel Grady, just two great documentary people. I mean, really up and coming. They just finished a documentary called Boys from Baraka.
Mm-hmm.
Won every kind of award a documentary can win. Very, very talented. And you know, it's not just about, I guess what it's about, the best way to frame it is Sinclair Lewis said that when fascism came to America, it would have a flag in one hand and a Bible in the other. You
yes,
remember that
did.
Quote?
Oh, yes, I
well,
do.
Well, they talk about the Bible side. They talk about how they talk about how religion has merged into politics to the point to where it's seamless. And they talk about how dangerous that is for the American democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wonderful, wonderful documentary they've put together, and these very, very talented people.
Now, I've got a synopsis here. It's not quite like a treatment, but it says these kids that go to Jesus Camp are homeschooled by the Christian parents and interact with their peers at church and church events. In the summer, they travel to someone named Becky Fisher's Kids on Fire summer camp, and this is ironic, at Devil's Lake, North Dakota, to intensify their devotion to the Lord. It says, intercut with scenes of the kids is the radio commentary of Mike Papantonio, a Christian who believes that the evangelical movement has strayed from the original teachings of love that Jesus died for. It goes on and on, and then it says, and where does the government land in all this? The evangelicals apply unceasing pressure to their elected officials, and have made great strides with Bush as their president. What kind of force will these kids be in politics and religion when they grow up? Although they speak in tongues, the kids of Jesus Camp are smart, empowered, and determined to change the world. That's kind of scary. It sounds like Muslim fundamentalists.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult to paint all fundamentalists with a broad stroke. You can't do it. I mean, I've been raised in the Methodist Church all my life. The reason I thought this was such an important documentary is because it's not just politics that's at stake here. I mean, it's the church. If you think about, you know, politics rise and fall according to the times.
Mm-hmm.
If you tie religion to that, that religion also rises and falls according to how politics is doing on that given day.
That's right.
Well, anybody who analyzes it understands that it's not just a threat to democracy, it's a threat to religion, however you line up. First of all, I want to tell you this. It's a very even-handed handling of this topic. They recognize that you can't throw all fundamentalists into this same big pot and mix it up. But there's a term that's developing out there. I know you've heard it. It's political fundamentalists, political evangelicals. They aren't there to preach the word of God. They're there to preach the word of Karl Rove. You know, the Republican evangelicals, they've become a party of Cain. They could care less about the moral wisdom of being your brother's keeper. It is purely the party of Cain. In fact, you know, there's not much willingness for them to believe what Jesus taught in Sermon on the Mount. I mean, it's not a party of inclusion. It's not a party of compassion, acceptance. It's a party that's become the party of war now, the party of pro-rich, the party of big corporate interest, the party of Falwell's and Robertson's.
The party of bigotry. Just pick your subject. The bigotry of these folks is astonishing.
Well, but there again, you can't. It's very difficult, Mike. I mean, in fairness to what these, I'm telling you, these are great, great filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And what they've done here is they've been able to distinguish the fact that you can't throw everybody into this movement. They talk about the cultural effect. I mean, there's a cultural war out there. If you don't believe that this really ugly right wing fringe, what I call the political evangelicals, if you don't believe they're winning, all you have to do is look back at 2004. They really were the difference in the election.
Mm-hmm.
You have to consider that as you and I talk, you can go on the show, you can talk reason, you can talk logic, but you know what, Michael? At the end of the day, 74% of these political evangelists still believe that George Bush has been anointed as leader of this country. And if you ask those same evangelicals what they think about the war, even though everybody in America understands it's a complete, utter disaster, 60 to 70% of that same group are going to say the war is a wise move. And so you can't, it's hard to ignore what's happening in the evangelical movement. And unfortunately, there's an arrogance, Mike. The arrogance is if you're in a coastal blue state, you don't understand what's happening in middle America. You don't understand what force this really is. And I think these two filmmakers bring it home, man. I mean, they bring it home on exactly the dangers of this whole movement. There's some hope. The hope is that people are waking up. This dominion theology that
right.
we've been seeing for so long. People are saying, you know, our environment is important. This warmongering that we've seen out of the evangelical right. People are saying, what is it that they're interested in? They're interested in end of time politics. Don't you understand?
Sure.
They're waiting for that rapture. They're waiting for the end of time. And in order to do that, they have to take back Israel. And so what, you know, so I think the handling of this whole very complex topic is so well done by these two very capable filmmakers. And I just think it's going to have a big impact on the political discussion because they've laid it out so well. They talk about how absurd that we're still talking about intelligent design in 2006. Mm-hmm. They talk about how absurd it is that you'd have an entire church and fundamentalist movement that's behind a war that has no basis. You know, Jesus said nothing about go to war. He said nothing about we should be pro-rich. He said nothing about being pro-corporate. He taught us to several things. He said show compassion, take care of the least of our society, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, all that's been turned on its head, not by good, solid Christians, but by Karl Rove. They preached the word of Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and George Bush, and they have forgotten what Jesus had to say on the Sermon on the Mount. And I think I really do believe this documentary is going to bring that discussion into not just mainstream politics, but into mainstream religion.
Well, I hope you're right, Mike. You know, I'm familiar with the few sermons, the three or four that Jesus gave, and one of the statements he made unequivocally was, blessed are the peacemakers. There was no condition to that statement. It was blessed are the peacemakers, period. Now, having said that, you know, this whole thing, Mike, just makes my head hurt. I have given up, absolutely given up on religion. Now, I do understand that there are some Christian fundamentalists who still work for the good of humankind. I do understand that. But they are in such a minority. And they have absolutely no voice where it concerns the political drift in the country. They have no voice. Look at the Southern Baptist Convention. That has turned into a hellhole of religious Nazis, if ever one existed. And the Southern Baptist Convention is the second largest religious organization in America after the Catholic Church. So I've given it up, Mike. I appreciate the fact that you still have a faith. I can still look at the words and the teachings of the historical Jesus and find some good there. But as far as religion itself is concerned, I'm sorry, my friend. I have seen this develop over the past 10, 15 years in this country, and it has absolutely turned my stomach. And like you, I was brought up primarily Methodist. I have spent a lot of time in my grandparents' church, Southern Baptist Church, but a lot of time with Methodism. But I've given it up, Mike. I can't stand it. So I hope that these filmmakers can reach out to the people who haven't given it up and who can see that there's some redeeming a quality here. But it's beyond me, my friend. It's beyond me.
Well, that's the whole point. There are a lot of people out there like Mike Malloy that says, I don't see anything that I find attractive. But you have to understand, what's happened is this thing is, I love to make predictions. My prediction is that this thing is going to collapse on its own weight. You can't go about preaching that it's okay to bomb abortion clinics, that it's okay to murder women clinic doctors, it's okay to ostracize everybody who's different, or cozy up to rich and powerful, or engage in fanatic war mongering, or suggest that that we should murder Hugo Chavez because he disagrees with our American politics. You can't go on polarizing the church affiliation according to politics, because at some point there is a backlash, and I really do predict, Mike, that the backlash is getting ready to happen right as we speak.
Hey, you want to hold on?
Sure.
I've got about a four-minute break here. We come back, we only have a very short segment, and so just hold on a second. We'll come back and finish this up. We're talking to Mike Papantonio. He's a co-host along with Bobby Kennedy Jr. of Ring of Fire. You can hear it on this network every Saturday and Sunday, 5 to 7 Eastern Time. Stick around. We'll more conversation with Mike coming back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
His name. We think his Bible should be taught in every nation. And we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus' land. Where we all love that neighbor if that neighbor's understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to Jesus' land. Now W's a married man. Laura is...
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk.
The Mike Malloy Show. Because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
You knocks me out.
10 before the hour, we're talking with Mike Papantonio, who along with Bobby Kennedy Jr. is the host of a co-host on Air America Radio Weekends. Their program is Ring of Fire. It's an environmentally focused, but it covers all sorts of issues. You can hear them every Saturday and Sunday, 5 to 7 Eastern Time on Air America. Back to the film, Mike, Jesus Camp. Now, I'm not clear. What's your involvement? How did you get involved? What do you do? Are you in the movie?
Well, what it is it juxtaposes a lot of the things we talk about on Ring of Fire and on Air America with what the thousands and thousands of right-wing evangelical radio hosts out there. It's an interesting thing. You know, when they first came to talk to me about this, they made it very clear that there aren't a lot of people talking about progressive ideas such as the dangers of religion mixing too closely with politics. Mm-hmm. There weren't people out there talking about that, so they thought that was an interesting thing that we're talking about that on Air America, because it's just the edge of the discussion. And so that's how, so I think that's the way I'm involved with it. It just juxtaposes a lot of things we talk about on Air America and Ring of Fire with what they're saying on the other side. And it's interesting that there's so few voices saying what mm-hmm. we're saying.
All right, so let me make sure I understand this part of it. Jesus Camp is a convocation of kids to get together every summer. I would assume there must be repeat campers, if that's what we want to call them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went to summer camp for 10 years. And
This isn't exactly summer camp, though.
All right. Well, I get the impression they get pretty involved. The talking tongues, it says here, do they handle snakes? I mean,
they dress them up in camouflage and march them around.
No.
Understand, these are kids that are, some of them are as early as 5-6 years old.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, the real message is, and it's a very, I got to tell you this, it's a very objective handling. I mean, they really handle this very even-handedly.
Yeah.
By the time the movie's over, I think it's people that could conclude, you know, these kids aren't so bad. And the kids aren't. The problem is the parents that are allowing that to happen to their children, you know, they really need some very serious psychoanalysis. But
well, I guess so. The kids may be wonderful little angels when they show up, but when they leave, is this not... You remember that movie from years ago, The Bad Seed?
Of course.
Patty McCormick? is that what we've got here, kids?
Well, not all the kids, but, you know, I did raise the question. I talked to the woman that runs this camp in one of my interviews on Air America on Ring of Fire. And I said, you know, we all have seen that children that are handled with too heavy a hand, that aren't given the right to think for themselves and to analyze and to be beat on before they even reach the age of reason
mm-hmm.
about something like religion, we see the backlash. It's almost, we see it all the time. They reach a point where they say, I can't believe I bought into that because of the way they made me buy into it.
Right.
The more natural thing is that they're exposed to, you know, they're exposed to religion on an even keel, and then they choose this works in my life or this doesn't. But if you look at what's happened to so many of these kids as they grow up, it's not a very pretty story. It's not a pretty story. But I think the thing is that most people don't understand that this isn't a movement that's just passing through. I mean, this isn't like you know, it's just not going to go away. Like Dennis Miller, disco, and lime green leisure suits. I mean, if we think that, we're kidding ourselves. These are highly motivated, well-organized, voting Republicans.
Well, you know, that's the part that what you just said a second ago that causes me, it causes my heart to hurt and my head feel like it's going to explode. I have children and grandchildren, and as you know, Mike, I've got a 21-month-old now, and when I think... to me, this is child abuse. When you take a child, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and inculcate in that child's head this fundamentalist craziness Now, I know you say the filmmakers treat it with an even hand. I don't know how that's possible, though. Is there an upside to taking a five-year-old and making that five-year-old think he's going to burn in a lake of fire sometime?
There's no upside, but I think the trick to a good documentary is to put the facts out there and then have people come away with you see the movie, you go to dinner, and you discuss what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what made such a wonderful documentary they did with Boys of Baraka. It was just a fabulous documentary. Mm-hmm. And this is the same quality. And so I think what it's going to do, it's going to be a wake-up call, I think, for the blue staters that believe that this is just some aberration. This isn't an aberration. This is here. These are voting Republicans. They're taught how to vote. They're told how to vote. They're told what movies to see, what ungodly business they're supposed to boycott, which congressmen to flood with letters and emails about immoral issues or ungodly legislation.
These are pod people.
Well, they are. In a sense, they are. But we can't ignore the fact that it is a reality.
Yeah, well, I don't want to ignore him, Mike. I really don't. I want to round him up and find a nice island someplace and just let him go out there and chant and raise your arms to heaven and froth at the mouth and speak in tongues and wait for Armageddon. I just wish they'd get the hell out of my country.
Okay. Well, you're a little harder on him than me, Michael. But I got to tell you, so I think it's a fight that's important. I think if you can show in terms that they understand of how dangerous this whole Karl Rove,
right,
a hijack has been for their religion, for the sustainability of Christianity in America.
Okay, all right, I get that. So you think then the best expected benefit from folks who are believers who watch this movie is that it will be a warning to moderate Christians or moderate any believers in this country just how freaked out this movement is. That's where the 35% that still supports Bush, that's where they come from, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's a wake-up call, not just for people who feel like they're attached to some particular religion. I think it's a wake-up call for people who appreciate the sustainability of democracy and religion. I think both of those go hand in hand.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, we got to do this again sometime. It's been a long time since we've been on the same air. I really appreciate your program on the weekends, by the way. So,
thanks a lot. Well, I think you're on this weekend. Next weekend.
I'm going to be a guest for a couple of minutes, as long as I had you on.
Well, but I appreciate that, Mike.
All right, well, listen, take care in your travels. Stay in touch, all right?
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Mike Papantonio, along with Bobby Kenny Jr., every weekend, 5 to 7 Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday, Ring of Fire. Check it out. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Oreck Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
It's a never-ending necessity for more and more office space.
For retail leases, I hand you, it's almost a book.
50 pages of legalese.
Am I going to be able to do this?
Calling the realtor should be the first thing you do.
When he got here, I could see he was wearing that realtor pin.
That's the guy to talk to.
Buying or leasing a commercial property? Let someone with expertise and experience be your partner. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Really helped me take my business where I wanted it to go.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
We'll be right back.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia says his decision not to remove himself from a 2004 case involving his friend Dick Cheney is, quote, the proudest thing he's done on the high court. He took questions today from University of Connecticut law students, and Scalia brushed aside criticism over a hunting vacation he took with Cheney while the high court was considering Cheney's appeal. In Scalia's words, quote, if you can't trust your Supreme Court justice more than that, get a life. The justices sided with Cheney 7-2 in the decision to keep secret details of the White House energy strategy sessions. Watchdog and environmental groups, though, contend industry executives, including indicted Enron founder Ken Lay, helped shape the Bush administration energy policy. A spokesman says the White House is investigating if and when the Bush administration knew that experts disagreed on whether trailers found in Iraq after the invasion were mobile bioweapons labs. Days after a team told Washington the trailers were not involved in that, George Bush said weapons of mass destruction had been found, citing the trailers. The White House says Bush's claim 3 years ago were found in Iraq was based on bad intelligence, but spokesman Scott McClellan strongly denying Bush knew that at the time. Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean called on Bush to release or declassify the final Defense Intelligence Agency report on those trailers. The American people can learn whether they were misled about the claims of the Iraqi biological weapons. After 8 months in Iraq, a Minnesota reservist was told he could not board a plane for home because his name was on a watch list as a possible terrorist. Marine Staff Sergeant Daniel Brown was in uniform and returning with a Marine reservist, but security in L.A. stopped him from getting on the plane. It's not the first time either. Brown missed a plane while trying to go to Iraq because screeners found gunpowder residue on his boots from a previous tour in the Persian Gulf. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the U.S. is working to make it easier for tourists to enter the U.S. by keeping terrorists out. She told a travel and tourism summit increased security, which caused trouble for so many tourists after 9/11, is no longer the case in 2006. Condi Rice says the nation's doors are now more open as our borders are, quote, more secure. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Phone number here is 866-303-2270. If the phones are working, 866-303-2270. I want to get some comments from you about the Washington Post story today. We got some sound to play for you here. And for the next segment of taking phone calls, I want to stay on that topic. All right, we'll branch out a little bit later in the program. Now, what we're going to do here, before we play these three sound bites of Scott McClellan from today, let's take another ride in the Wayback Machine here and go back to the spring of 2003, when then White House spokesliar Ari Fleischer was dancing around the podium about all the wondrous discoveries that validated Bush's attack on Iraq. I want you to hear this. First, we have Bush speaking himself, and then Condoleezza Rice. This is back when she was not Secretary of State, and then Ari Fleischer. A couple of sound bites from Ari Fleischer. But here we go. Let's listen first to Bush. He had a pep rally for the troops in Qatar. This was on June 5th, 2003. You can hear his lies here. The absolute lie. He knew on May 29th, 2003, 6 weeks roughly prior to what you're going to hear him say, that the so-called mobile biological weapons facilities, those two trucks, that was a lie, a filthy lie. It had nothing to do with it. He spoke on May the, I'm sorry, I said 6 weeks. He spoke on May the 29th, and then 6 days later, on June the 5th, he's repeating the lies. See, on May the 29th, let me get this right. On May the 27th, 2003, he knew that those trailers had nothing to do with biological weapons. On May the 29th, 2 days later, he came out and stated categorically that they did. Here we are, 6 days later, June the 5th, 2003. Now he's telling the troops the same lie. Listen to this lying bastard.
Recently found two mobile biological weapons facilities which were capable of producing biological agents. This is a man who spent decades hiding tools of mass murder. He knew the inspectors were looking for him. You know better than me. He's got a big country in which to hide him.
It's just unconscionable. He's talking to soldiers. This lying son of a bitch is talking to soldiers. And he knew that there was nothing there. Doesn't matter. When you're a psychopath like George W. Bush, it doesn't matter what you say. On June the 8th, Sunday, Meet the Press with media whore number one Tim Russert. Condoleezza Rice, then National Security Advisor, was the guest. The last question from Russert on that during that interview was to Rice. He said, "You are confident then that you will find weapons of mass destruction?"
We're confident that I believe that we will find them. I think that we have already found important clues, like the biological weapons laboratories that look surprisingly like what Colin Powell described in his speech, like the testimony of people that talks about the embedding of chemical weapons in their dual infrastructure program, much like what Colin Powell said in his February 5th testimony to the United Nations.
Now, you remember the so-called Downing Street memo that revealed that the Bush crime family, including Condoleezza Rice, including Colin Powell, including all of them, worked to structure the talks that Powell gave to the UN prior to Bush's invasion of Iraq, to structure whatever the comments were from Condoleezza Rice or Rumsfeld or Cheney or any of them, to structure their lies in a certain way, so that a few months later, when it was revealed that there was no there, they could fall back on the lies and say, well, you know, this is what Colin Powell said back on the 5th. You know, everything is coming together for us. This is how evil these bastards are. Now, here's Ari Fleischer, press briefing. May the 29th, on the same day that Bush said, even though he'd got the information 2 days before, on May the 27th, on May the 29th, Bush came out and made the statement that the trailers were in fact mobile biological weapons factories, trailers. Okay. He knew he was lying. So at the press conference later in the day, Helen Thomas asked Ari Fleischer a couple of hard questions about the lack of weapons in Iraq. Her first question was, is the president satisfied with the intelligence he got before the war? Because now one cabinet officer, Ari, is saying that they buried the weapons. Another said they destroyed them, and another official said they... whatever. What is the president's view on all this?
The president is indeed satisfied with the intelligence that he received, and I think that's borne out by the fact that, just as Secretary Powell described to the United Nations, we have found the bio trucks that can be used only for the purpose of producing biological weapons. That's proof perfect that the intelligence in that regard was right on target.
For two trucks? For the war? On the finding of two trucks?
Well, I don't think it's anything to dismiss that Iraq had, contrary to their protestations to the United Nations, trucks for the purpose of producing biological weapons. They said they didn't have them. They got caught. Proof perfect that they had them.
Unbelievable. Proof perfect, you bald-headed freak, that you and Rice and Powell and Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Abrams and Poindexter and Negroponte and Bolton, all of you, lied the American public into an invasion, a war, mass death. Every one of you bastards should be taken out, tried, convicted, and feel the full force of the law for what you've done. Every single one of you. Now let's go back 2 days prior to the last one, May the 27th, on the day that Bush got the information that the bioweapons labs were a fake. At the press conference, Ari Fleischer has asked the following. Ari, it's been almost a month since the president declared an end to major combat operations in Iraq, and we still haven't found any weapons of mass destruction. So will you say at this point that there is a very real possibility that we're just not going to find them?
No, I think you saw what General Myers said on Sunday shows about the importance of being patient in this. It is just a month, and nothing has changed your confidence that they will be found. And, of course, we have already had the successes in finding the bio trucks that have no other use than for the production of biological weapons.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Last one from Ari Fleischer, June 18th, 2003. Reporter says, the apprehension of Mahmoud al-Tikriti, who I believe at the time was one of the people... put in a position of temporary power by the Bush crime family. The apprehension, apprehension, the arrest of Mahmoud al-Tikriti. That's right, that was Saddam's brother-in-law, if I remember. Reporter says, do you see that as being a potential boon in your so far fruitless hunt for weapons of mass destruction?
One on the interesting little twist to your question at the end there. I do want to remind you about the capture of the biological weapons laboratories, which is not an insignificant finding. In fact, about the capture of the biological labs. Two, CENTCOM has issued a statement confirming the capture of the Ace of Diamonds. This is a significant capture.
Well, that's right. Mahmoud al-Tikriti was in the deck of cards. Ace. All right. Now, there you have it. You have Condoleezza Rice, George Bush, Ari Fleischer. Every one of these murderous liars making their statements, their public statements. Now, when we come back, I want you to hear simple Scotty McClellan from today. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Now I'm on the wall, on a picture list.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Past the hour. All right. Bush, in his own words, lying. Ari Fleischer, the paid whore, lying. Condoleezza Rice, another paid whore, lying. There was an attempt made by members of parliament in the UK or members of investigative organizations in the UK to challenge Tony Blair's assessment of the need for war, too. It wasn't just Bush. Remember, Bush's poodle, Tony Blair, both of these men were involved in this. There were several articles published, mostly in the British press, about the doubts where it concerned the so-called mobile weapons, biochemical weapons labs. There were all sorts of articles published here in this country, not articles, but discussions, a doubt, a point after point made about how this was nonsense. The reason we're bringing it up tonight is because finally the Washington Post brings it up and reveals the fact that this Bush bastard knew on March 27th he got the report, or at least that's when the report was sent to Washington by this special investigative group comprised of 9 engineers and scientists, a British and American. Now, if you want to assume that Bush never saw the report, go ahead. I don't make that assumption, though. I know the evil bastard did see it, and he still lied, and all of them lied. One more example of their carefully laid out lies about the attack on Iraq being blown to pieces. All right, Simple Scotty today. Now, I love how McClellan justifies this, the way it's reported in the Washington Post, this latest discovered lie. To McClellan, if the lie happened a year or two ago, it's somehow not important anymore. You ever notice how he does that? Nothing new, nothing to see here. You know, move on. That's old stuff. So the reporter says, Scott, there were reports this morning in the Washington Post said in late May of 2003, there were questions raised about whether or not the trailers were bioweapons, mobile bioweapons in Iraq. When did the administration come to understand that those trailers were not mobile bioweapons labs?
I don't think that's a new issue. I mean, I saw the report. This is nothing more than rehashing an old issue that was resolved long ago.
When?
I count how many times the president has said the intelligence was wrong.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, you bring up an issue that goes back to a time period when the intelligence community had assessed the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency that a couple of mobile laboratories that were found in Iraq were for the production of biological weapons. That was the assessment of the intelligence community. Now, we know that the Iraq Survey Group, which we had going to Iraq to search for the weapons of mass destruction, looked into this issue, and it was September 2004, I think, that they concluded that certainly this was not for biological weapons production.
Now, do you hear that? A blatant lie. September 2004, they concluded that this was not for biological weapons production. And it was May the 29th of 2003! A year and 4 months prior! Everybody in the Bush crime family knew that these were portable toilets, if anything. Trailers to be used for the production of hydrogen to send up weather balloons. And McClellan stands there this morning and says, we know the Iraq Survey Group looked into this issue, and it was September 2004, I think, that they concluded that this was not for biological weapons production. And in the first part of his statement, he says, you bring up an issue that goes back to a time period when the intelligence community had assessed that a couple of mobile laboratories that were found in Iraq for production of biological weapons. Another lie. This is intelligence, quote, that Bush ordered them to report, that he cherry-picked himself. He threatened to fire anyone who dared bring back data that didn't support his bloodlust for Iraq and blamed anyone who dared to go public with the real truth. And the real truth was there was no evidence to suggest that Iraq was any threat to us in any manner, way, shape, or form whatsoever. Jesus, God is... I mean... All right. When we come back, two more from McClellan today, and then we're going to take your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Boy, I'm pissed tonight. Oh, my God. And I think you should know. This is Air America. People you trusted are morally busted. They choose not to see right from wrong. There's no use denying. We all know he's a lying. I'm talking about Scotty the Duck.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
In the beginning, there was National Lampoon, Spy Magazine, and This is Spinal Tap. Then, comedy writer Tony Hendra showed us his spiritual side in the New York Times bestseller Father Joe. The Times Book Review called his memoir extraordinary, luminescent, and profound. But had Tony Hendra lost his comic edge? Ah, ye of little faith. Tony Hendra is back with a brand new novel, The Messiah of Morris Avenue. It's a slyly comic, deeply spiritual novel that imagines the second coming and an unlikely, lovable human new savior. Frank McCourt, the author of Angela's Ashes, says The Messiah of Morris Avenue is just what this country needs right now. A good dose of merriment in the face of craw-thumping righteousness. A rowdy book, but Lord, it's beautiful. And comedian George Carlin says it simply, I love this book. Thank heaven for Tony Hendra. The Messiah of Morris Avenue is at a bookstore near you from Henry Holt. Spread the word.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
recently found two mobile biological weapons facilities which were capable of producing biological agents.
Oh, God. 26 before the hour. All right. Again, from today's White House press briefing with this lying Scott McClellan. Keeping in mind what was published in the Washington Post today and what we just played for you from a couple of years ago. Reporter says, so insofar as in May of 03, there was a 122-page report filed by the Defense Intelligence Agency that said that these trailers were not bioweapons, but it was, or bioweapons labs, and then we heard from the Vice President and Colin Powell after that period suggesting that they still were. Now, as usual, when caught in a lie, just blame the press for reporting it.
The White House is not the intelligence-gathering agency, and the assessment that the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the arm of the Pentagon, made initially was that those in this report that was released on May 28, 2003, was that the labs that were found were for producing biological weapons.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
Been in place for quite some time. Now, I will point out that the reporting I saw this morning was simply reckless, and it was irresponsible. The lead in the Washington Post left this impression for the reader that the president was saying something he knew at the time not to be true. That is absolutely false, and it is irresponsible. And I don't know how the Washington Post can defend something so irresponsible.
Yeah, when you're guilty, when you're a lying son of a bitch, attack the messenger. This is just what the Bush crime family does. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. He says that the CIA and the DIA, in the report released May 28th, said that the labs that were found were for producing biological weapons. That is absolutely 180 degrees from the truth. The report was given to Bush on the 27th that said they were not for the use of producing biological weapons. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. This is where we are. These bastards don't even attempt to spin anymore. They just stand there and lie. Every single one of them. We have got to get rid of them! Legally and peacefully, of course. Last one for tonight. A reporter asked about the double standard of Bush's declassifying intelligence information he declares is for the public good, to show the world the truth. Turns out Bush is only interested in declassifying for the public good if it's for political revenge, but not if it exposes his obvious 10-year-old, a 10-year-old could see these lies about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Reporter says, Scott, a further point on the Washington Post report, which I know you're agitated about today. The report describes the final technical engineering exploitation report on Iraq's suspected biological weapons associated trailers as still being classified. Even today, and given the fact, Scott, that the president and you have said that Mr. Bush has declassified other reports in order to further public debate, and you said it was in the national interest to do that, would it make sense to declassify this report?
Kelly, this issue has been looked at by an independent bipartisan commission. They've looked at all these issues. They've looked at the intelligence that was used as the basis for all the different aspects that were talked about, and they determined that the intelligence was wrong. This is rehashing something that's very old, but the lead of that article is just reckless reporting, and it's irresponsible.
Oh, my God. This issue has been looked at by an independent bipartisan commission. Who are you talking about? They've looked at all these issues. What issues? Yeah, they looked. They saw the lies that you showed them, but they haven't seen the true information yet. Oh, he's talking about congressional committees. Just like they voted to go to war based on the lies you showed them. You can't really hold them accountable for that either, can you, Scott? You lying bastard. And once again, this is rehashing something that is very old. It's very old. I mean, my God, when this story came out, you know, we only had 1,000 dead. Now we have 3,000 American soldiers dead. That's how old this is. And that makes the lie less important. It's just disgusting. It really is. It's just disgusting. Yeah, I know. There is another real important issue out there. A House committee today voted to kill the internet. Absolutely kill it. And I don't know when we can get to it. Maybe we can get to it a little bit later on this evening or tomorrow. We will get to it. Let's do some phone calls as promised. Start with Gary. He's calling somewhere in Pennsylvania. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hey, hello, Mike. You have a great show, man.
Well, thanks.
And may I hark back to Papantonio?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Well, I catch their show as often as I can, that Ring of Fire, and they do a great job. But when he said that he felt that this whole rapture right thing was about to implode or would implode, you know, fairly soon. I wish I could be as sanguine about that as he is, but I have a tough time. And then, if in fact what he's saying is right, all right,
mm-hmm.
That scenario comes to mind. I mean, they already have a sort of an army. They have those Aryan nation types and all that. Who claim to be Christians.
Right.
And in a final, if they see that they're about to lose their influence in a final convulsion, I'm not sure those creeps wouldn't come out from underneath their rocks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Somebody sent me an email and pointed out that when Hitler took power, he did it with only 40,000 brown shirts. I don't know what the population of Germany was in the 30s, but it must have been in the tens of millions. Hitler took control of 40,000 brown shirts. The thing I like about Mike Papantonio is his positive way of thinking. This guy looks for solutions. He has a lot of hope, and I deeply respect that. Mike Papantonio gets from me the highest praise I can give a man or a woman. If it's a man, the highest praise I can give is he's a good man. If it's a woman, the highest praise I can give is she's a good woman. Mike Papantonio is a good man, and I deeply respect him and admire him. Like you, I tend to hold back, though, in fully agreeing with his hope that this film, for example, will show mainstream Christians just how sick these far-right evangelicals have become. I'm willing to give it a shot, if for no other reason than the fact that Mike said, let's see what happens.
May I interrupt you for a
yeah,
second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you read the latest issue of The Nation?
I'm in the process of reading it now. I get it. I just got one. Which article?
Basically, the gist of the whole issue where they're talking about the moderate Christians who are finally waking up to the destruction that these rapture types are creating. And the name that they're giving Christianity, and how they're finally starting to organize and have a voice.
Well, I think that's what Papantonio was pointing out, and I think that's the peg on which he's hanging his hope that Christians who have not bought into this insanity from the Christian right will find a way to redeem their religion. And I think Papantonio's point was exactly what you're pointing out, Liz, in The Nation.
I'll tell you something else, too, that occurred to me. In the Bible, it says, you shall have no other gods before you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And devotion is a species of worship, is it not?
It is.
Well, the devotion that they have to George Bush and all those freaks that surround him, isn't that kind of having another god before you?
Close to it, Gary, close to it. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in. You're listening on XM?
Yes, sir, I certainly am.
Well, take care, drive safely, and we'll talk again, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. Mark is calling from Toledo, Ohio. Mark, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir. You're calling from my hometown, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I was telling your screener that I really appreciate the fact that there's someone on the radio who is not afraid to say what needs to be said. And it's not all BS. It's the truth, and that's the type of oriented type of person that I am, is looking for the truth.
Uh-huh.
And so many people have a hidden agenda. I don't think you have a hidden agenda at all. My appreciation of you is that you don't have a hidden agenda. You're kind of like one of those people that what you see is what you get, and you make no bones about who you are or where you're coming from. And I just want to let you know that I appreciate it, and I'm sure that most of your listeners do as well.
Well, that's very kind of you to say it, Mike. Thanks, or Mark, I'm sorry. Thanks a lot for checking in. We got a break here, but you're right. I don't have any agenda. I love my country. I love what it has tried to be over the past 230 years, the work that everybody has put forward to bring this country forward, and I hate what's going on right now.
A blazing ball of fire, and you lie, you freaking liar.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Every generation has a story to tell. For those who lived through the war in Iraq, it's The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell by John Crawford. The New York Times best-selling account of a man who opposed the war but fought on the front lines. The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell is the first on-the-ground memoir to make an impact, raves the Times Book Review. John Stewart of The Daily Show says it's a wonderful read. Time Magazine calls it harrowing and exquisite. Read The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell, now a Riverhead paperback.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021. Or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Thank you.
truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Janice is calling from Southgate, Michigan. Janice, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Mike, I admire and honor and share your outrage so much. And I love to hear your rants. They're wonderful.
Okay. You get just as pissed off, don't you?
Oh, God, yes. And I like the music that you play in your program, too, while I've been waiting to come on the air. Here I am standing in my dark house with a flashlight tied around my neck because I haven't been able to find a job in 8 months. And last week, my power got shut off.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, God. So I go over to my neighbor's to charge my cell phone. Fortunately, my daughter pays for my cell phone, so there you go. And my shrink loaned me her portable radio so I could listen to you. Can you believe it?
This is all true. You're in a dark house with a flashlight
tied around my neck.
Oh my God!
So I can see where I'm going.
Well, here. What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. If I can come up with $500, the welfare office will pay the rest. There you go. What can I say?
You can't find a job in Detroit?
Well, I'm looking. I'm interviewing. You know, I'm a legal secretary and. The market here in the Detroit area is really dried up, and I go on interviews, and I'm a little older than the average legal secretary, so
right.
I look good on paper. My resume is wonderful. I'm great on the phone when I'm talking to them. They take one look at me, and they say, I don't know, because I'm 61, and, you know, I think it's age discrimination, but there you go. I know, isn't it? It's just too much. It just is. Oh, God, give me strength. Anyway, I really, really like. You know, I wish you had the stamina to be on the air 24 hours a day. For God's sake.
I don't.
I know. That's all right. But you know, and also, I'm going to be interested in listening to. About that House committee that voted today to kill the internet. I don't know anything about it. I go up to the library because I don't have a computer, and then I, surf. I always start with BuzzFlash because they have, you know, the latest articles
right.
And so on. And, because you've got to, remain vigilant. It's the price of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was just wondering in all these, sound bites that you've been playing about the liars. That one where Bush said, and I will never forget this, and I think he was overseas when he said it. He was in Poland or someplace, and he said, for those who said we haven't found the WMD, they're wrong. We found them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yes.
When he said, for those that said we haven't found them, they're wrong. We found them. And I think he was talking about the weapons labs. The so-called mobile labs.
Yeah, well, that statement that we played tonight, he was addressing American troops in Qatar, one of the United Arab Emirates, I believe.
Yeah. Well, there was another time where I think he was being interviewed by Polish television or something, and you know, with his trademark smirk mm-hmm. and his dismissive, you know, the man, I swear to God, I don't know. I mean, you said, you know, we have to get rid of them peacefully and legally, and I know exactly what you
mean. No, I have to believe, I still have to believe in the power of our system to handle situations like this. Sometimes it has to go to critical mass, I guess, but...
I don't see how we can possibly get rid of them, honest to God, unless, you know...
The last legal way available that I'm aware of to get rid of them before the end of this psychopath's term
right.
is to get Democrats in control of the House and the Senate
yep.
and then prevail upon these Democrats to impeach these liars and get them out of office.
We should hope so. But then again, we should also hope that the votes are counted.
Well, that's the key right there.
You know, I mean, they talk about voter fraud. They never talk about election fraud.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I know.
So. Anyway, keep up the good work.
Well, listen,
I love your program.
But what are you going to do? By the way, you sound like you're in your 30s. It's hard to believe you're 61. Surely there is something available. Do you live in Wayne County?
Wayne County is hurting bad. It's, you know, but I did go. There's this place called Wayne Metro, and I went there last week, the day after I lost the power, and they said they couldn't even respond to me for 2 weeks. So fortunately, it's getting warmer, and I have lots of friends and neighbors who love me, and I love them, and they let me come over and charge my phone and watch TV, and, you know, it's not bad. It's just me and my cat here, and we're fine. The first few nights, it was cold. And I went to stay with my daughter in Ann Arbor for a night, and she drove me crazy, so I had to come back here. But
will you do me a favor? Will you stay in touch and let me know how this works out? I hope it will work out. I don't know what the
it
hell
will. Will. It will. It always
well,
does.
Will you call me and call this program and let us know when either A, you've gotten a job, or B, you got your power back on, or C, a combination of both? Will you please do that?
I sure will, Mike. God love you.
All right. Take care.
You too.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for checking in, Janice. Oh, man. All right, we have a break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
I'm Jeff Weiser. The government has rested its case against 9/11 conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui after the jury heard the chilling cockpit voice recording of a doomed airliner on the day of the attacks. Jurors heard the voices of the hijackers as frantic passengers and crew members tried to regain control of United Flight 93. The jury is to decide if Moussaoui is executed or spends the rest of his life behind bars. Legal analyst Royal Oak says the government put on a very convincing case in the penalty phase. He says the testimony was very strong.
Incredibly emotional testimony, not only from people like Rudy Giuliani talking about seeing people jumping out of buildings holding hands, but also to actually hear the recordings of people who are about to die.
Oak says the defense will have a hard time trying to convince the jury that Moussaoui should not get the death penalty. The world's leading powers have joined the U.S. in urging Iran to immediately and completely halt its uranium enrichment program. Russia and China, along with other members of the United Nations Security Council, sharply criticized Iran for continuing to pursue nuclear ambitions. U.S. and Canadian officials have derailed a sophisticated human smuggling network suspected of illegally bringing dozens of Indian and Pakistani nationals across the international border into Washington state. Patty Lane reports.
Smugglers charged as much as $35,000 to illegally transport foreign nationals from India and Pakistan into Canada and then into the U.S. through a remote area in Washington state. Agents rounded up around 60 people who paid for passage.
And while we have no current information that this has any terrorist ties, the obvious fact that individuals are being smuggled into the United States, it brings forward the security issues for both countries.
Lee Winchell with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement says some of those apprehended were small children. Investigators on both sides of the border worked closely on this for more than a year. A federal grand jury in Seattle has indicted 14 U.S. and Canadian residents for their part in the scheme. Patty Lane, Seattle.
Almost every resident of Massachusetts will have a guarantee of health insurance thanks to a bill signed into law by Governor Mitt Romney Wednesday. The bill is being touted as a national model at a time when Romney is positioning himself to seek the Republican presidential nomination. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. All right, I've gotten 1, 2, 3, 4 emails now about the phone call from Janice. And people are already offering money. Our good friend Herb over in Mississippi has offered to organize it, and so on and so forth. But I don't have I don't have an email address. Well, you heard what she said. She doesn't have a computer. Don't have a phone number. Don't have any way to get in touch with her. If Janice, if you're still listening, if you want to call in and talk to Dee, our associate producer, and come up with leave us an address or something. I mean, these people are serious. It's about the best I can do. Oy. So far, we got an email from Mississippi, Michigan. Where's this one from? Doesn't say. California. Oh, my God. All right. Let's go back to your phone calls. You know what we're talking about here. Let's see. Donna is calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yep.
Hey, Donna. Welcome to the program.
Hey, you know, I was wondering how these people sleep at night, and then I heard stories about people sleep eating and sleep driving. So I think they've been sleep governing, and that's why they cannot remember anything they say or do.
Sleep governing. Yeah.
Yeah. Either that or they're just habitual liars and now their lies are catching up with them.
It's astonishing how easy the lies roll out of these people's mouths when they're dealing with the lives of tens of thousands of people. This is why I despise them. I hate them with a depth that scares me. If they were lying about politics in the United States, oh, yawn. If they were lying about, the commodity prices, who cares? But the lies that this Bush crime family is telling are lies that literally cost the lives of tens of thousands of people, Americans, Iraqis, Brits, God knows who all.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
Ah.
So, hey, can I ask when you were at WLS?
We got there in the spring of 97 and left in the spring of 2000.
Okay, no, I was thinking maybe you were there when I was a little kid, but no.
No, no. You're older than I am.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm just kidding, Donna. I'm just kidding. No, when you were a little kid, I was, selling magazines or something. I have no idea.
Well, I just thought I'd ask. Hey, you have a good night.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Donna. Appreciate you checking in. From Brooklyn, Tony? Tony's calling from Brooklyn. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, man? Mike, what kind of country are you living in? A 61-year-old should be living in the dark with a flashlight on my head listening to the radio, man.
I can't handle that. This is, and she's a legal secretary.
Mike, how long would the money that we drop on one bomb in Iraq, one of those so-called smart bombs last, so, you know?
I'd pay the electric bill for probably everybody in Detroit for a month.
What can we make? I mean, these people that get on the radio, how can we do this to our people, man?
I don't know.
Well, you see, okay, it starts, we do it to the Iraqis, there's no problem, so then we could do it to our own people too, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Right?
I, Tony, I don't understand. I don't have any answers. I have as many questions as you do. I'm as angry as you are. I'm as frustrated as you are. Now these sick bastards are talking about using nuclear weapons in Iran.
Mike, isn't that terrorism to the people of Tehran?
It is.
All of the citizens of Tehran to threaten them with nuclear annihilation and to threaten the survivors with radiation poisoning for the rest of their lives.
And the Iranian people, you know, as far as this new guy that was elected president or whatever with his crazy statements, to hell with that. The real leader is Khomeini, however it's pronounced. But the people of Iran I don't know how many Americans remember that on September 11th, 2001, or certainly September 12th, 2001, the citizens of Tehran poured into the streets in sympathy for what had happened here, waving American flags. The Iranians are not some backward people. They're not the Taliban. They don't grow poppies for a living. The Iranian people are our scientists and engineers and school teachers. And
the Iranian people, Mike, the Iranian people are the most American-loving people in the whole of the whole Middle East, Mike, because they're educated. Most of them are educated in American and British universities, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. And
to threaten those people and their children with radiation poisoning. I mean, what are these people smoking, man?
They're sick, Tony. Everyone in the Bush crime family is a potential, and some of them are actualized mass killers. All of them. You know, a lot of people say to me, email me, how do you use that term mass killers? You toss it around like you're saying ice cream peddler. No, I mean it. They are mass killers. So many people inside the Bush administration are responsible for policies over the past 30, 40 years that resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people in Central America, in Africa, in Southeast Asia, and now in the Middle East. It's just unbelievable. These are demons. These are demonic people. I don't know.
Like, if you remember in the British Empire days, right, they would use all the money of the British people and to go to serve the empire overseas, and only the 10% of the top would reap the benefits. So 10% of the top would reap the benefits of the empire, and 90% would have to pay for it.
Well, I know. That's usually the way it works. That's one of the reasons we're reading 1984 every night. Tony, let me leave it there. Thanks a lot.
Take
I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Richard is calling from Michigan. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much, Mike. Good boy, I was all set to have some fun with you, and now I've been laid low a little bit by Janice. And, you know, I can sympathize with her. I know things, well, from personal experience, are tough here in Detroit.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
for sure.
But we shall soldier on. I think it's not a night, Mike, for anger and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I think you ought to be putting a party hat on and having a good time, because when I was listening to that cut of Scotty McClellan, it immediately put me in mind of the movie All the President's Men, when Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman published that article where they incorrectly finger, I can't remember if it was Haldeman or Ehrlichman, but in the movie they played a cut of Ron Ziegler, who, as you know, was Nixon's
right.
spokeshump.
Right, right.
And he's ripping the Washington Post in almost precisely the same verbiage as McClellan was using today. And
you know,
that's
right. I wish we would have gotten that.
Yeah. But, yeah, well, there's still tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
But it just tells me that, as you point out, they've been caught in a lie, and it's a big one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the truth will out. These people are going down. It's the same scenario, and it stands to reason. I mean, Rumsfeld and Cheney were both around mm-hmm. during Watergate.
That's right.
And, you know, I think that, you look at the polls. The American people, as Bush would say, the handwriting's on the wall. They know what's going on.
Yeah, it's just too damn bad that we are so slow, the people of this country are so slow to come to terms with the reality
mm-hmm.
that we have to deal with sometimes. It took us how many years to deal with the kind of racism that was condemning children of African descent, just a little bit of African descent, to second and third and fourth class educations. How long did it take for us to understand? It just goes on and on. And where it concerns this hideous, vile, vicious attack on this country, you know, to hell with Saddam Hussein. He's in prison. If it's necessary to execute him, then put a bullet in the son of a bitch. But to continue to kill Iraqi people, I don't know.
I know.
It's just beyond me. Hey, I got to leave it there. Thanks for checking in, pal. Take care. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. One of the best things about getting an 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum is what you don't get, namely, a cloud of dust in your face every time you turn it on or when you empty it, which means you won't get a house full of bacteria that travels on dust. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
Every generation has a story to tell. For those who lived through the war in Iraq, it's The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell by John Crawford. The New York Times best-selling account of a man who opposed the war but fought on the front lines. The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell is the first on-the-ground memoir to make an impact, raves the Times Book Review. Jon Stewart of The Daily Show says it's a wonderful read. Time Magazine calls it harrowing and exquisite. Read The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell, now a Riverhead paperback.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
21 past the hour. Ha! Let me see. Barbara is calling from Seattle, Washington. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Relating to Janice, I hope she finds a job real soon, because from personal experience, it's no easier when you get to be close to 64. And I'm looking for work, too. Can't find it. And in high tech, and it's a young person's game.
But in Seattle, I thought that was the one of the high tech capitals of America.
Oh yeah, but you have kids that were born with a mouse in their hand, and they went from there. And you know, I'm 1 year away from, I guess, what they consider retirement, and putting out to pasture.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. So my thermostat didn't get above 52 this winter. So it's you know, there's a, I think, a big disconnect with the politicians, with the people who are out here working harder than you can imagine. I mean,
sure.
I do have a part-time job. For a while, I had three part-time jobs. But just trying to make ends meet, and you get kind of the scorn of some of these politicians when they say, well, you know, get out and contribute money and go work and go work on the campaigns. You can't do it. You're too busy trying to survive.
Yeah.
And there is that... that disconnect, and it's always bothered me. But anyway, so the other thing I wanted to call about, have you heard about the IRS and PayPal?
No, I have not. Now what?
Ah, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, the IRS won approval from a federal court, of course a federal court, to ask PayPal to turn over information about people who might be evading taxes by hiding income in other countries.
By using PayPal?
Uh-huh. The IRS now has permission to ask PayPal, because PayPal has online money transfers,
mm-hmm.
for account information for American taxpayers who have bank accounts, credit cards, or debit cards issued by financial institutions in more than 30 countries reputed to be tax havens.
Well, why don't they go after the offshore corporations or the American corporations that have offshore offices?
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know where I'm going with that one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So be aware of that, too. PayPal has it under advisement, and they're considering it. So they want to trace money that American taxpayers hold offshore to avoid paying taxes. So here goes another one.
Yeah.
PayPal.
Uh-huh. All of a sudden, PayPal, the name isn't quite as cute.
Nope, it sure isn't.
Oh,
so
God.
I thought I'd add that to your little litany for the evening.
Well, yeah, like I needed one more thing, right?
One more, just one more.
All right, thanks, Barbara. Let us know if you get a job, all right?
Will do.
Thanks, Barbara. Take care. Oh, God. Sam is calling from L.A. Sam, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, what's going on, man? First of all, I got to say I've been listening to you ever since you got into Air America, and you are something else, man. But... and let me just say that I think all this stuff that's going on in the world today, I mean, this is going to sound kind of weird, but I think this is the best thing that could possibly happen to everybody. And I think the right wingers got it right in one sense, that George Bush is the best thing that ever happened to this country. Because ever since the beginning, ever since the 60s, we've had it in our minds about this monolithic, overwhelming right-wing fascist power that's going to eventually, like, pretty much ruin everything. It's going to come pretty much for our babies at night. And it's always been a daydream, though. I mean, we've never actually experienced it. All of a sudden, this guy comes along, and he comes along and he shows the entire world, not just our country, the entire world of what these people are all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by this summer, it's going to reach critical mass. I think it's going to get to the point where people are going to say, you know what, shut up, sit down, you're not doing anything else, and you know what, eventually we're going to get your ass out of office, but for now, just stay away from everything important. I think it's eventually going to reach that point.
Well, I would like to hope that you're right, but Bush and his crime associates are in positions of absolute power. I don't think there's ever been a regime anywhere. I'm including the Soviet Union. I'm including ancient Rome. I'm including the Germans, the Nazis. I don't think there's ever been a regime anywhere in any period of history that had at its control more destructive firepower and the absolute willingness to use it if pushed into a corner. I'm trying to think in history if there was anyone madder and more heavily armed than this Bush crime family, and I can't come up with anyone. Now, having said that, I recognize that everybody in the Bush crime family is an absolute coward. If you called out any one of these people, you know, if they weren't in government, if they were out of government, and you name it, and you invited them out behind the bar for a good old fashioned ass kicking, every single one of them would turn around and run. I really believe that. These are cowards.
Oh,
Cowards of the highest order. So if the American public in general can do what the so-called illegal immigrants have done in the past 10 days and put millions of people in the streets in response to the Bush crime family, I think they would do what you're saying. They would sit down and shut up, Sam. But short of that, I don't know what's going to work. And I got to leave it there, pal. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it very much. You have a good evening. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
Every generation has a story to tell. For those who lived through the war in Iraq, it's The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell by John Crawford. The New York Times best-selling account of a man who opposed the war but fought on the front lines. The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell is the first on-the-ground memoir to make an impact, raves the Times Book Review. John Stewart of The Daily Show says it's a wonderful read. Time Magazine calls it harrowing and exquisite. Read The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell, now a Riverhead paperback.
We'll be right back.
26 before the hour. We are in part two, chapter nine of Orwell's 1984. We're in the part where Winston Smith is reading Emmanuel Goldstein's book about the how the party was put together, the inner party, the outer party, how totalitarianism and Big Brotherism came to the world, but especially to Oceania. We're at the part where Goldstein is working on the second party maxim, that is, ignorance is strength. And the book explains how a party member, being an inner party member, means the willingness to say that black is white when party discipline demands that. It means also the ability to believe that black is white. And even more psychotically, to know that black is white. Now, in order to do that, it demands a continuous alteration of the past, made possible by the system of thought which really embraces all the rest and which is known in Newspeak as Doublethink. And all you have to do is listen to a McClellan press conference to fully understand what Orwell was writing about 60 years ago. The alteration of the past is necessary for two reasons, one of which is subsidiary and, so to speak, precautionary. The subsidiary reason is that the party member, like the proletarian, tolerates present-day conditions partly because he has no standards of comparison. He must be cut off from the past, just as he must be cut off from foreign countries, because it is necessary for him to believe that he is better off than his ancestors, and that the average level of material comfort is constantly rising. But by far the more important reason for the readjustment of the past is the need to safeguard the infallibility of the party. It is not merely that speeches, statistics, and records of every kind must be constantly brought up to date in order to show that the predictions of the party were in all cases right. It is also that no change in doctrine or in political alignment can ever be admitted. For to change one's mind or even one's policy is a confession of weakness. If, for example, Eurasia or East Asia, whichever it may be, is the enemy today, then that country must always have been the enemy. And if the facts say otherwise, then the facts must be altered. Thus history is continuously rewritten. This day-to-day falsification of the past, carried out by the Ministry of Truth, is as necessary to the stability of the regime as the work of repression and espionage carried out by the Ministry of Love. The mutability of the past is a central tenet of Ingsoc. Past events, it is argued, have no objective existence, but survive only in written records and in human memories. The past is whatever the records and the memories agree upon. And since the party is in full control of all records, and in equally full control of the minds of its members, it follows that the past is whatever the party chooses to make it. It also follows that though the past is alterable, it never has been altered in any specific instance. For when it has been recreated in whatever shape is needed at the moment, then this new version is the past. And no different past can ever have existed. This holds even when, as often happens, the same event has to be altered out of recognition several times in the course of a year. At all times, the party is in possession of absolute truth, and clearly the absolute can never have been different from what it is now. It will be seen that the control of the past depends above all on the training of memory. To make sure that all written records agree with the orthodoxy of the moment is merely a mechanical act, but it is also necessary to remember that events happened in the desired manner. And if it is necessary to rearrange one's memories or to tamper with written records, then it is necessary to forget that one has done so. The trick of doing this can be learned like any other mental technique. It is learned by the majority of party members and certainly by all who are intelligent as well as orthodox. In old speak, it is called, quite frankly, reality control. In new speak, it is called doublethink, though doublethink comprises much else as well. Doublethink means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's own mind simultaneously and accepting both of them. The party intellectual knows in which direction his memories must be altered. He therefore knows that he is playing tricks with reality. But by the exercise of doublethink, he also satisfies himself that reality is not violated. The process has to be conscious, or it would not be carried out with sufficient precision. But it also has to be unconscious, or it would bring with it a feeling of falsity and hence of guilt. Doublethink lies at the very heart of Ingsoc, since the essential act of the party is to use conscious deception while retaining the firmness of purpose that goes with complete honesty. To tell deliberate lies while genuinely believing in them, to forget any fact that has become inconvenient, and then, when it becomes necessary again, to draw it back from oblivion for just so long as it's needed, to deny the existence of objective reality and all the while to take account of the reality which one denies, all this is indispensably necessary. Even in using the word doublethink, it is necessary to exercise doublethink. For by using the word, one admits that one is tampering with reality. By a fresh act of doublethink, one erases this knowledge, and so on indefinitely, with the lie always one leap ahead of the truth. Ultimately, it is by means of doublethink that the party has been able, and may, for all we know, continue to be able for thousands of years, to arrest the course of history. All past oligarchies have fallen from power, either because they ossified or because they grew soft. Either they became stupid and arrogant, failed to adjust themselves to changing circumstances, and were overthrown, or they became liberal and cowardly, made concessions when they should have used force, and once again were overthrown. They fell, that is to say, either through conscious or through unconsciousness. It is the achievement of the party to have produced a system of thought in which both conditions can exist simultaneously, and upon no other intellectual basis could the dominion of the party be made permanent. If one is to rule and to continue ruling, one must be able to dislocate the sense of reality. For the secret of rulership is to combine a belief in one's own infallibility with the power to learn from past mistakes. It need hardly be said that the subtlest practitioners of doublethink are those who invented doublethink and know that it is a vast system of mental cheating. In our society, those who have the best knowledge of what is happening are also those who are furthest from seeing the world as it is. In general, the greater the understanding, the greater the delusion. The more intelligent, the less sane. One clear illustration of this is the fact that war hysteria increases in intensity as one rises in the social scale. Those whose attitude towards the war is most nearly rational are the subject peoples of the disputed territories. To these people, the war is simply a continuous calamity which sweeps to and fro over their bodies like a tidal wave. Which side is winning is a matter of complete indifference to them. They are aware that a change of overlordship means simply that they will be doing the same work as before for new masters who treat them in the same manner as the old ones. The slightly more favored workers, whom we call the proles, are only intermittently conscious of the war. When it is necessary, they can be prodded into frenzies of fear and hatred. But when left to themselves, they are capable of forgetting for long periods that the war is happening. It is in the ranks of the party, and above all of the inner party, that the true war enthusiasm is found. World conquest is believed most firmly by those who know it to be impossible. This peculiar linking together of opposites, knowledge with ignorance, cynicism with fanaticism, is one of the chief distinguishing marks of oceanic society. The official ideology abounds with contradictions, even when there is no practical reason for them. Thus, the party rejects and vilifies every principle for which the socialist movement originally stood, and chooses to do this in the name of socialism. It preaches a contempt for the working class, unexampled for centuries past, and addresses its members in a uniform which was at one time peculiar to manual workers and was adopted for that reason. It systematically undermines the solidarity of the family, and it calls its leader by a name which is a direct appeal to the sentiment of family loyalty. Even the names of the four ministries by which we are governed exhibit a sort of impudence in their deliberate reversal of the facts. The Ministry of Peace concerns itself with war, the Ministry of Truth with lies, the Ministry of Love with torture, and the Ministry of Plenty with starvation. These contradictions are not accidental, nor do they result from ordinary hypocrisy. They are deliberate exercises in doublethink. For it is only by reconciling contradictions that power can be retained indefinitely. In no other way could the ancient cycle be broken. If human equality is to be forever averted, if the high, as we have called them, are to keep their places permanently, then the prevailing mental condition must be controlled insanity.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Talk about unsanitary. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. Imagine vacuuming your house wearing a dust mask. Friends, try my hypoallergenic 8-pound Auric XL free for 30 days. It's 99.99% dust-free. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Dude, I'm in trouble.
Why?
I haven't done my taxes yet. I don't have an appointment anywhere. I can't figure out the forms for myself. I'm done for.
Whoa, relax.
I'm gonna have to change my name and leave the country.
Just go to TurboTax.com. They have everything you need to get your taxes done quickly.
TurboTax.com?
Yep. You just answer simple questions and it fills in all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Sounds easy.
You can even e-file and get confirmation that the IRS received your return.
Well, that sounds a lot easier than what I was planning.
Learn more at TurboTax.com. Log on and you're done.
mission against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Incoming, incoming. It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the staff in New York, Justin Yuen, and our resident rock star, Jason Isaac, for engineering the program tonight. Also, the associate producer, D. Neal. And let's see, Matt Emmerich. Emmerich or Emmerich? How do we say Matt's last name? Emmerich. Matt Emmerich answered your call tonight. Thanks, Matt. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Day. Back to the phone calls. Ron is calling from Michigan. Ron, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hello, Mike. I'm a regular listener, although I admit that I can't always hear everything on your program. But my main rant here tonight is that I'm just furious with the lack of imagination of so many of your callers who call and say, oh, Mike, what can we do? What can we do? They walk around like Mr. Magoo when the example of what needs to be done and absolutely has to be done is sitting right in front of them. And we've just had a very successful example of that a la France. And isn't it amazing? You know, the United States is the only country that has never had a general strike. And there's something, but are we going to come to the conclusion that Americans are so inferior that they cannot organize themselves like the French, the German, the English, the Brazilians, many people in Latin America who have successfully used general strikes to run corrupt regimes right out of the country? The success has been there. I'm tired of the whiners with two hands on their butts running around with Mr. Magoo glasses on, who don't see what has to be done. I mean, it's the only thing that is going to work. If they think conventional politics is going to get us out of this mess, then they're really smoking dope. They're going to just be complete losers. We've got to organize general strikes, and we've got to have a clear program of what we demand in advance of doing that, so that when we accomplish that, we can jam those demands down the throats of this corrupt, ugly government, and we just keep that general strike going until they are broken and do our will. That's the iron will that we have to develop and execute in this country. Anything else is just pipe dreaming as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I hear you loud and clear. I don't disagree. On the other hand, I think the people who call this program and express their frustration are also aware of that. I wouldn't be too harsh, Ron, with what you hear, because I honestly believe. Are you okay, Ron?
Yeah, my little earpiece just fell.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounded like somebody just mugged you. I think the people who call this program are fully aware of what you're saying, and I think what is needed right now is the same thing that was needed in France, or was needed in all these other countries that you mentioned, or even in the United States here in the past week, with the immigrant community rising up and saying, "No, we're not going to be labeled as illegal. We're human beings," and that is an organizational structure that is not bureaucratic, but is a starting point. One of the organizing factors of the immigrant community here in the past 10 days was Hispanic radio and television, and the community leaders. Now, when you're an immigrant community, you maintain that community leadership for a long time. Most Americans, we don't even have bowling leagues anymore, much less, can get together to organize something like a nationwide general strike. The French, historically, have demanded a certain social safety net in their country, and whenever it's tampered with, the French immediately respond. The Yugoslavs, the Georgians, the people who have seen tyrants refuse to leave office when they've been voted out, and they show up by the hundreds of thousands on the steps of parliament That's a very clear signal that they're not going to tolerate it. I don't know what it will take to motivate Americans to do the same thing, but I want you to try to entertain the idea, Ron, that most people who call this program or listen to this program are on the same page as you are, on the same page as I am. We're waiting. We're waiting for somebody to light the match that triggers a general strike.
Mike, if I may add, that's the problem. Waiting for a leader. Recently, someone called in your program and suggested that who's the guy from PBS? They said, "Oh, let's have him."
Bill Moyers.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This business.
Well, I think they were talking about somebody like that being president of the United States.
Well, I thought they were suggesting they lead up some kind of protest. May I suggest this? That first of all, given the fact that these things can be successful, we should use them. Secondly, we don't have a choice. Our back is against the wall. When your back is against the wall, you don't pray for things that are not likely to happen. And let me suggest another action. We should have a buyer's boycott. I'm aware that some of the people who call are so broke that, I mean, this would not work for them. But this business of buying airplane tickets, of going on carnival cruises, of buying brand new cars when your present car works fine, this stuff should not be given up entirely, but postponed for a political action. Withdraw the money and send a clear shock wave to Wall Street. Let me tell you, the phones will be ringing in the White House to do something to appease the people, because in fact, a general strike and a buyer's boycott will cause such international storm that Bush will crumble. And we need to get... Let me give you...
All right, Ron, this is a height of irony, but I have to cut you off. I have to stop it right there because we're out of time. You made some good points, but I think anyone who listens to this program is on that page. We'll see what happens. That's all I can say. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.